is being recorded. So, but first of all, what is your name, sir?
Name is Kerry Manier.
Mr. Manier, and do you remember your ADC number, sir?
They gave me a number.
I know it's been a while, but some people just put it out of their minds. They don't think of that number again.
It's a good thought.
Once it's over.
They gave me a number on the sign-in.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you so very much. Now, before we go forward, let me just make a statement. The reason I departed the room a while ago, the board had not been given the application package for the hearing today. So I want you to be aware of that. And I checked with our legal counsel from the Attorney General's office while I was out of the room, and we came to this conclusion. So I understand that, did you come over this morning from New Mexico, sir? You live here in Arizona. Where do you live now, sir?
I currently reside in New Mexico, Rio Doso.
And you came over today just for this hearing?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let me tell you what our situation is, and I sincerely apologize to you. We've had some changes in terms of our staff, and as a result of that, somehow your package did not get to the board members prior. I just gave them part of the package just a minute ago that I was able to get the staff to make copies. So what our legal counsel suggested is, inasmuch as you've taken time to come over from New Mexico, that we go ahead with the hearing, you discuss with us your application, why you want to be pardoned. However, at the end of the day, we would want to continue this hearing until the board, for two reasons, until the board will have had an opportunity to really read and digest the application, and until the board can ensure that your information, or that the board has contacted the victims, if there are any, the county attorney, the state, if the state needs to be contacted, and this has not been done as of this particular moment. So what we want to do, we wish to go ahead with, I'm going to put, this is not legal term, with part one, the beginning of the hearing. We want to talk to you. Then once we get it back on the calendar, after it's been continued, then you will be welcome to come back, or you could do it by phone once we have had an opportunity to get it back on the calendar. Do you understand what I'm saying to you, sir?
Understood.
Okay, board members, do you understand? Is any question? Because board members not heard this before. Either this is their first time hearing it as well. Okay, sir.
So
yes, sir.
I am quite excited. We're going to take the information from him today, and then when we get the rest of the packet, then we'll make a determination.
Yes, sir. When we get the rest of the package, but before we make a determination, we will continue the hearing with him, either being present in person or by way of telephone, since he's from New Mexico, and then we will make the decision. But he will be in every step of the way. We will not make the final determination without his being involved, either in person or by telephone.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Any further discussion by board members at this point?
Thank you, sir.
Okay, so inasmuch as the board has not had an opportunity to review your application until they just received it, and so did I as chairman of the board, I think that you've been introduced to the board already by just sitting here, but let me introduce the board members again. There is the Honorable Mr. Louis Kiwanis. This is Honorable Mr. David Neal. This is the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. That is the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. And my name is C.T. Wright. I'm board chair, and I'm also serving as a panel chair for your hearing this morning, sir. We want to welcome you to the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for your pardon hearing. And again, I'm sorry that there has been some miscommunication in terms of getting documents out, and that's the reason that we're handling it the way that we handling this. Therefore, I guess if you could begin, and I'm just going to ask a few questions, and other board members can ask questions, and you can tell the board anything you want to tell the board today, because we're here to listen and to learn, and this is being recorded, so just for the record. So, first of all, could you tell the board what was the nature of of a criminal activity, the crime that you were found, that you were involved in, sir, initially?
Well, there were quite a few cases over the years. This started when I was really young. So I have some juvenile cases, and then when I turned 18, I immediately was arrested for several crimes. And then after that, I went on and got into trouble more. So for the first part of my life there at a very young age, till I was 30, I had gotten quite a bit of trouble.
So now, what are you requesting the board to consider seeking a pardon? As you know, a pardon, the board does not have the authority in the state of Arizona to offer a pardon. A pardon is given by the governor of the state. What the board would do would be to make a recommendation to the governor, and the governor is not obligated to accept the recommendation from the board. But in terms of, since you've had a criminal history, so are you asking the governor to forgive you for all of the criminal activities, or is that what this application is about, sir? You're asking your record to be for all of the crimes that have been committed to be commuted. Is that basically what you're asking this board to recommend to the governor, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And how would this, why are you seeking a pardon at this time, sir?
Well, it's just something that after almost 20 years since I've last gotten into trouble, my life has completely changed and gone the other direction. And about, I'd say, 7 years ago, I just, me and my wife started talking about it, and, you know, and I really didn't understand at that point, and still don't, what it would actually mean to get the pardon legally. I've read some of the documentation, you know, potential rights restoring and being able to vote and maybe potentially being able to be in a higher capacity, operate in a higher capacity with the business that I run. But we started talking about it, and it's just something that I, personally, that I wanted to try to shoot for. I've got this hanging over me for, you know, all these years now, since I was 18, plus my juvenile history, and I've made a lot of changes in my life, and it's just something that was more of a personal interest to try to obtain it and see if I could, see if it was, the opportunity could be there, and then if I could do it.
So, sir, have you petitioned the courts to restore any of your rights as of this moment? That's possible. You know, petition the courts, you know, to gain my rights to vote and some other rights. Have you petitioned the courts at all for any of that at this time, sir?
No, sir. And I became aware of the ability to do that during the pardon process, that I could even do that.
And I think you answered it a few moments ago, but from your perspective, how would, if the governor of Arizona saw fit to grant you a pardon, how would that benefit you, sir?
Well, like it, as stated before, it's a personal thing. It would be just a personal, you know, the reasons why I did what I did, I now know why I did all those things I did at such an early age and into my early adulthood, and have found solutions for all those things today, and have now, been very successful in my community and in business and in family matters. And it's due to the 20 years of being clean and sober and participating and helping others and having that program and those tools to deal with things in life where I did not have before. So I have an understanding of why I did what I did and why I'm doing well today and have done well for almost 20 years. So I kind of got off there and I lost. I may not have answered your question.
No, you answered the question, but what I just wanted to raise another question that relates to that. From a professional standpoint or a personal standpoint, why did you do what you did in terms of committing the crimes as a juvenile and then after you turned 18? You said you discovered, if I heard you correct, now you know why you did them. So why did you do them, sir?
Yeah, you know, I know now why I did what I did. And, I got into trouble, I think when I was 13 was the first time I got into trouble. And drugs and alcohol were part of every time I got into trouble. And I started doing drugs and alcohol at 13 at a really young age. And, that's what I turned to. I was, I know now that, you know, I was very angry. I come from a family that was, you know, my parents divorced when I was 3 or 4, and then my older brothers were a little older. It affected them a little bit more. So I come from a broken family, and I was, you know, I know it started out there. I was very angry that my, you know, father and my mom had divorced, and from that point on, we never saw our father again. There was no birthdays, there was no... And I know I carried all that, and I wasn't happy, and I didn't know how to deal with it. And I turned to drugs real early on, and I couldn't, everybody tried to help me, family tried to help me, and I was basically unhelpable at that point. I just didn't want to accept any help. I was a kid. And it just grew from there. I became, I started doing drugs and alcohol every day, and I, I was an addict. And it's what I did. It's how I handled all my problems. And therefore I, and that's what drug addicts do. They lie, cheat, steal. And that's, and I did all of the offenses that are on all of my, I did every one of them.
When was the last time you used drugs?
Pardon me?
When was the last time you used drugs?
18 years.
18 years ago. Okay. And any particular reason you stopped using them, sir?
Yes. I was almost 30 and dead end, still no direction in life, no purpose, just in the same addictions. I would go up and then down, up and down, and couldn't make a good decision if it was right there in front of me. Couldn't, and actions showed that. And, once again, I found myself in the same position, was in trouble, facing legal matters again. And on top of that, it was not just that I was facing that, but it was once again, I'd hurt my family again, because it was something that I did, to my family. I forged some checks that were my mom's. And so I found myself in that position again. And, I'm just at this point lucky that at that time I somehow, instead of doing what I'd done all the years earlier over and over again, I just reached a point and became willing to, do something about it. And that's where, from that point on, it became my life's mission, so to speak, to get help. so that's...
How did you seek help, sir? Where did you get the help from, sir?
So from that point on, I got lucky. The courts allowed me to go to a program, and I spent a year in a 12-step orientated program, and completed that, and then they hired me on, and so then I began not only, you know, continuing my personal path to of recovery and learning how to live without drugs and alcohol and being a part of the community and society and helping others instead of the direct opposite. I went to work for them, and there was a lot of counseling involved there, but I've just for every day since then, I've been a part of AA. I'm an active member and a sponsor in AA for 18 years. I've had years of counseling with personal and professional for family counseling. I sobered up. I didn't know how to do any of the things that I wanted to do, but you know, with the program, with the counseling, and with just the personal desire to want to live a better life and to be able to solve issues without using. So that's where I learned it, with the counseling, with the AA program, and with working with others. I've got the tools, so to speak, to do that these days, and have so ever since then.
We're glad to hear that. I'm just going to ask one or two other questions, and I'll go to other board members. But what's your relationship with your family now? You mentioned that you were writing checks on your mother's account and all of that. So how's the relationship with your mother and others now, sir?
Well, my relationship with everyone in my family, every family member, is it's a blessing. That's what I get today. I did not have the ability to have a solid relationship in any way, a professional standpoint, family standpoint, from a interpersonal standpoint. I did not have the ability to do that before I got clean and sober. Now I have that in every area of my life. I have a great relationship with my mom. She is an AA super trooper, so to speak. She loves the program because she's seen what it's capable of if a person is willing and wanting. And everyone in my family. My son's never seen me drink or use. He's fixing to graduate college in New Mexico State this year. He actually wants to come into the family business, which he's got a kinesiology degree, and so we don't know what we did, but he's raring to go and wants to come into our business. But I've got a great relationship with my entire family, and that's due to being clean and sober.
And one last question at this time. What is the family business, sir?
The family business is First Alarm and Security, Inc., and we do commercial, residential, and private security. So we do intruder detection systems, home automation. We offer private security as well. We have the private patrol licenses. My wife holds those. So I have all the contractor licenses. It's been in her family since 1970 in Ruidoso. We bought the company 13 years ago. I've since quadrupled the size of the company, and growing, expanding, offer employment to the community.
Okay, so I could go on and on, but we have other distinguished board members, and I know there are other things that you want to tell the board, so I'm going to stop at this point and yield to any of my distinguished colleagues. The Honorable Mr. Kowanis, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Board Chairman. Mr. Muneer, first of all, thank you for appearing for this board today, and what I have to say is, as an individual voting board member, because we're all independent, and as our board chairman stated, all we can do in these cases are vote for recommendations to the governor. I think it's just, I'm just saying this as one voting board member. I think it's important to point out that the this is not necessarily about success, because when it comes to whether or not you've succeeded in the rehabilitation process, both from criminal violations and your drug and alcohol issues, I think you're a tremendous success. If what you're saying is accurate, you're a success. You're what I would hope to see as a board member for someone moving on with their life after experiencing incarceration or probation or rehabilitation. It's that there's a very high standard for recommending a parole to the governor, and we have to give some serious justification. I'm not giving a position at this moment. I just want to make sure that's clear. This is not necessarily about success or failure, because you sound like a tremendous success. I'll ask you one practical question. Was gun rights one of the issues that you were looking at in requesting a parole?
Pardon?
Well, it's not gun rights.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He said parole.
I'm sorry. Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. I don't know. That came out so automatically. I didn't mean to say parole. I meant pardon. But in pursuing a pardon, I feel like I said pardon. Pardon me. Thank you. But in pursuing a pardon, was gun rights one of the issues?
There are no issues, so to speak, and I'm not pursuing a pardon for gun rights. I'm pursuing a pardon because, you know, I have these things on my record and they're always there, and even though they've been there, it still hasn't stopped me from doing what I need to do to be a part of. It's more of a, yes, I would love to have rights restored for voting, for gun rights, for maybe be able to operate in a higher capacity in the business. Also to have, I worked hard to, I didn't need this. This was a choice for me to pursue, and I knew it was going to be difficult. It's more of a personal matter for me. You know, I wanted to do that, irregardless of whether I get it or not. And if I do get it, I still understand that I have those things from the past on my record, and it just gives me more of a story. You know, to when I'm out there and I'm trying to. I might have not have gotten where I am today very well, and I have that story, but that story sure has helped me to help myself and others. So I don't know if I answered your question correctly, but it's not really an issue of gun rights, but it would be amazing to me to be able to get a pardon and to have those types of things happen as well, yes.
The reason why I was asking that on a practical level is that there are some rights that are returned automatically in the state of Arizona. I wasn't sure if that was something that you already pursued. This is not to say, so don't try to get a pardon. All I'm saying is that some of the issues that we've run into as a board are people who live in states that don't recognize those restorations, such as California and Nevada. I wasn't sure what the situation was in New Mexico, and if you'd already retried for restoration of those standard rights, and whether they would be recognized by New Mexico. So is that something that you've researched?
I have not.
Okay.
This is my first attempt at any type of pardon or restoral of rights. I just found out during the pardon process that I could even submit or request a restoral of rights, but I haven't pursued it or I haven't done any of that.
I highly suggest, and again, you're here for a pardon hearing, but that you do research that, because New Mexico might be a little more lenient. That's it. I know this as a retired ATF agent, specifically with the gun issue, that all states are different. They some recognize restoration, some don't, and certainly we've dealt with people who come from states who don't recognize this state's restoration, but some do. So that's just a point of encouragement.
I appreciate you.
Thank you.
More thank questions? You, more. Thank you, Honorable Mr. Fuentes. Board members, questions?
I was just going to comment on the same thing that Mr. Pinon has just commented on, that generally, you know, before a person applies for a pardon, they usually go and have their gun rights restored, have their rights restored, have their sentence set aside, and that's all done by the courts that to do that. It appears I've never had it done, but it appears that that's an easier process than the actual pardon, but it would actually probably grant you all the same things that the actual pardon would actually grant you. There has to be some really, really extenuating circumstances for it to come before this board for us to pass it on to the actual government. But your voting rights, all your rights could be restored subject to the court system. And you may want to look into that, as Mr. Quinones was applying to, which would be a huge impact that all your rights have been restored, your sentence set aside, and that's a much easier process than the actual pardon process itself.
Thank you very much, Mr. Johnson. Any further discussion by the Honorable Mr. David Neal?
Most of this is curiosity. First of all, it appears that this really, that your past record hasn't really affected your ability to move forward and, you know, and build a family and build your business and everything else like that, which is very commendable, because things like that on your record sometimes can weigh you down completely. So it's, you know, you are to be commended to be in the position you are now with the record that you have. Now, here's a curiosity. How long have you lived in Ruidoso?
Lived in Ruidoso since 2000.
Do you happen to know anybody there with the last name of Langford?
Yes.
They were relatives of mine. I haven't seen him in 30 years, but.
Yes, and I did know him.
Yes.
Very
beautiful sweet. Beautiful.
They were a customer of mine.
Okay. I a long time ago, I was AWOL apprehension in the Army, and we used to go up there on a fairly regular to pick up AWOL, but all the AWOLs were picked up in Ruidoso, so we're from the tribe. Different whole situation. But you ought to be congratulated on the success that you have accomplished without restoring any of your rights or anything else like that. That is commendable.
Thank you.
Okay. Further questions by board members or discussion by board members? I don't hear any at this time. So we're coming towards the end of this part of the hearing. As we said, that we are going to continue it at the end of the day, but we will give you an opportunity to make any further statement that you would like to make at this time, and when we reconvene again, we'll have that opportunity again to make a statement. But at this time, anything else you want to share with the board at this time, sir?
Yes, I would, please.
Yes, sir. Please go ahead, sir.
I didn't really, it's a little, the format today was a little different because you all haven't had a chance to see the paperwork. I didn't get a chance to basically accept responsibility for all the things that you're going to eventually see on paper, all the cases here and in Yavapai County. Those are the two counties where everything happened, basically, because I grew up in Phoenix until I was about 12, and we moved to Prescott, and then from Prescott until I was 18. So this is where all of the juvenile events took place, and then as soon as I turned 18, the adult cases took place. But I'm accepting responsibility. Those things that I did, like I said before, I know now, retrospectively looking at it, why I did what I did. I did not know then. I just couldn't make a good decision, like I said, for the life of me, even though I wanted to not do the things that I did, which was the stealing, the lying, the drug using, and then the adult cases as well, where there's burglaries involved, and just it's, you know, all the terrible things that are on that paper. I do, that's one of the reasons why I was able to move on, because I have not only accepted responsibility for that and made all the restitutions, even to the people that I, anyone that I could have that wasn't mandated. I went back and my family members, I've paid them back, and I've tried to live the lifestyle that pays it back by living that way. But I just wanted you all to know that you know, I know what I did, all the things that I did, and I know why I did it, and I do accept responsibility and have made the changes in every area, and I don't expect to, you know, the results aren't up to me, but I don't know if I covered that when we spoke earlier, so. That's all I wanted to share. Thank you.
Thank you so very much, sir. At this time, the board is going to go into discussion, and following this discussion, the board will offer a motion at that point. The board is now in discussion, and we're part of the open meeting law in the state of Arizona, sir, and whatever we do it publicly. We don't do anything behind closed doors. We don't go somewhere and lock the doors behind us, and you can't hear. But everything that we do is done in public. So, but at this time, in view of the where we are, in as much as we, the board had not had an opportunity to review the application due to some situations, change of staff, and also that the request for additional concerns or support had not been sent out by staff. I'm going to suggest, and I'll make a motion later when I listen to other board members first, that we continue this hearing until a future date. But I want to listen to other board members. Any further discussion by other board members? Yes, the other board, Mr. Windhouse.
So I would just like the opportunity to review in more detail about, you know, what was the criminal history. So it's kind of here, but it's a little hard to do on the spot. So I would agree with that.
Thank you. Further discussion?
I agree, sir.
Thank you. Therefore, I'm going to offer a motion to continue this hearing until a future date, which we will not make that. We cannot determine when that will be, but it will be a future date. And that is my motion to continue.
Second.
Agree?
Agree.
Motion by myself, C.T. Wright, seconded by the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse. Agreed by the Honorable Mr. Kiwanis, the Honorable Mr. Neal, the Honorable Mr. Johnson. Sir, and your hearing is continued at this point. Once this is back on the calendar, you will be notified. We welcome you to come back, but if you don't want to come back, we're always honored to have you back in the state of Arizona. Arizona is more beautiful, don't take me serious, but Arizona is more beautiful than New Mexico. But you're always welcome to come back. But if you don't want to come back, you can always do it by telephone. That will be left up to you. But you will be given due and timely notice, sir. Therefore, by unanimous vote of the board, this hearing is continued. Thank you so very much, and thanks for coming over today. And please have a great day, and congratulations on all the things that you've done, sir. Thank you. The hearing is over.
Thanks much to you all. Appreciate your considerations.
Thank you, sir.
And if you have a smartphone, I would pull that up immediately. Ask about, does New Mexico recognize Arizona's restoration rights? Because, again, this is to be continued, but some of those issues might be handled much easier through the courts.
Appreciate it.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.